Well, that was painful. Oh, man. Rams fall to the Bears in a game that they probably had a million different ways they could have won. We're going to get into it. Before we do, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. Also, be sure to follow me on all social media, including Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and Kick, at JK Bogan. Tough, tough loss. Probably the worst type of loss, the one that you outplay the other team and you just don't even know how you ended up losing it. So just really, really tough. I know some people are going to blame certain players and whatnot. I don't think this is one of those games where it falls on one player. It never is, really, if we're being honest. But yeah, just really tough. I mean, you get the run game that you want going with Kyren Williams, who should have had 100 yards for whatever reason, only had 19 carries despite the fact they couldn't stop him. You get Ronnie Rivers going a little bit in the run game. You get Tutu Atwell and Whittington going. They shouldn't have lost this game. It's really that simple. Stafford was great. I know he had the interception at the end trying to make something happen. His quarterback rating isn't going to look great, 77.4, but who gives a hell? I mean, passer rating is so ridiculous because Matthew Stafford played an astronomically better game than Caleb Williams, and he has a 77.4 passer rating, and Caleb Williams has 106.6. So there you go. And then people get on Verse. I see it already. Jared Verse needs to finish. Okay. Yeah, you could definitely say Jared Verse has to start finishing these into sacks. Aaron Donald did the same thing. Can we also admit that? Aaron Donald missed sacks early on in his career, later on in his career, in the middle of his career. But we never, ever held that against Aaron Donald. And we shouldn't. Just like we shouldn't hold it against Verse. You can't sit here and tell me, well, Aaron Donald's pressures were great. Aaron Donald's pressures are this, this, and this. Guys just have to finish. But then Jared Verse is doing the same damn thing. And now it's Jared Verse has to finish his sacks and his tackles. And the whole game is on Jared Verse. It's ridiculous. I don't know where this rationale came from. I don't understand it. But we've gotten to the point where people are now like, oh, he was the first round pick and I wanted somebody else, whether that's Latu or the kid that the Vikings got. And it's like, Verse isn't the issue. Like, he's not the issue. He's been part of the solution. They got a ton of pressure. They continue to get a ton of pressure. We're not talking about that. This defense is getting more pressure than they did last year. Way more pressure than they did last year. So the last thing I'm going to do is start blaming the guys up front for losses because they're getting after the quarterback. The other guys got to step up. Linebacker play is not good enough. You could sit here and say, this guy had a great play and this guy had a great play and this guy had a great... Yes, everyone in the game had a splash play, including Akello Witherspoon, by the way, who may not have played as much as maybe you and I would have wanted, but you see immediately he's in there trying to rip the ball out. He made a really nice... He almost ripped the ball out. And, of course, you know, there are people that didn't like him that were telling me he can't tackle, doesn't want to tackle, all that. I mean, the reality of the situation is that they have talent all over the place, and these guys have to play better than they are. And you could make the argument for sure Akello Witherspoon needs to be featured more. I know a lot of people are going in on Trey White. Now, let's go back. Let's just take it from the top here. Offense. Stafford was great. He had one bad throw at the end of the game. The other bad throw was nullified because the guy stepped out of bounds. And he knew it. He was just throwing it. So the one bad throw at the end of the game, he's trying to make something happen. Where's the pass protection? Who knows? Not there on the left side. And he throws a pick, trying to make something happen. But how many times has he not done that? How many times has he led that team down the field? That's a tough hole to dig yourself out of at the 5-yard line. You have to go 95 yards to win the game against the Chicago Bears defense that forced you to go 1-for-5 in the red zone. So I'm just going to say that right now. I thought Stafford played very well, was confident, didn't have perfect protection either, had pressure, okay? And he still made do. But a few of those, I mean, let's be honest here. Left tackle, Alaric Jackson has to play better. Because I'm seeing better stuff out of, in my opinion, based on what I've seen. I haven't gone back and I haven't watched the tape from this game, obviously. But Logan Bruss, who's making his second start, looked better in pass pro than Alaric Jackson. Now, again, I could watch the All-22 and maybe be like, eh, I'll rescind that statement. But as it stands right now, what I've watched, I thought Bruss was solid. I didn't see really much pressure up the middle. Stafford had the middle. It was the sides. I thought Allert gave up way too many on the left side, and I could be wrong. I could go back and I could find, okay, this is just a bad play call. Nobody's there to chip. There's too many free runners, I can tell you that. God, Stafford had so many free runs at the quarterback today, and he still made plays. 20 of 29 for 224 yards. It's almost 8 yards, per pass. That's pretty damn good. But it's frustrating because immediately you saw good game plan coming out, getting Colby Parkinson involved, Kyren Williams involved, DeMarcus Robinson, Jordan Whittington had himself a good day, and Tutu Atwell, and you don't come away with really anything. Only one touchdown on the day. They dominated. It's unreal. Kyren Williams ran 19 times for 94 yards and a touchdown. So it's tough, man. Definitely tough. We'll get into the rest of it, but yeah, this loss hurts. I know people are hoping I'm going to say something to make you feel better about this team. Hopefully that's what I'm doing right now, because there's no excuse for them to have lost this game. They are so much better than the Chicago Bears. It's not even a discussion. It's not. But you have to give the Bears defense credit in the red zone. That's why they won the game. They forced turnovers. That's a huge turnover. The strip sack on Stafford, that's a huge turnover. And they forced field goals. And that's all you can ask for from your defense. So Rams didn't get the turnovers that they wanted. Bears did. Caleb Williams was carried. What else is new? It's very frustrating to watch that. And DeAndre Swift, who was averaging 1.8 yards per carry, all of a sudden turned into DeAndre Swift of last year. This Rams team was defending the run well to start the game, and then it buckled. I don't really know, because I'll have to watch the All-22 to really know for sure, but the screen game doesn't work that way for the Rams. It always works on the opposite side. It's frustrating. I'm very frustrated right now. I'm not going to lie. Very frustrated watching this game, 3 hours of the day, thinking, okay, we're starting off the day early. It's a 1 o'clock game. Got a lot of daytime left in the day. They win this game. I get out of here by 6. It's my mom's birthday, for what it's worth, so I will not be doing any call-ins. I wanted to make that obvious now, because I need to go see her, especially after this. So yeah, happy birthday, Mom, if you're watching. But I'm going to cut it a little short. Had they won, I might have stuck around a little bit, but after that, to blow that game, this won't be a 2-hour live stream, but this is going to be a live stream, right? I am going to talk to you guys. I'm not going to shortchange you, because I appreciate all of my consistent viewership on here. I'm never going to shortchange you. Maybe I am in a sense with the lack of call-ins and whatnot, but I think you guys understand. I gotta make that sacrifice, because it's my mom's day, right? So before we get into the rest of this show, I just want to give a shout out to today's sponsor. As always, Prize Picks. So the Caleb Williams thing is out the window, and you guys probably don't even want to look at Caleb Williams, to be fair. This was the last week to have the free Caleb Williams 0.5 passing yards gimme. However, you can get $50 when you play a $5 lineup, win or lose. Your first $5 lineup, win or lose, you're getting $50 on your account when using the code JKBogan on Prize Picks. So definitely go and take advantage of that. The link is in the description below. Sometimes, I'll tell you what, after a tough game, tough 1 o'clock slate, 4 o'clock slate, I like hitting up, you know, just putting together some projections, more, less, whatever. Because sometimes I need motivation to get myself back into football. Because after the Rams lose, it's tough. But I'm still a huge football fan, and I love football. And so it always helps having a Prize Picks there for you. So check that out. Link is in the description below. JK Bogan is your code. And yeah. So speaking of Prize Picks, I did tell you guys I liked Whittington to go have more than his projected wide his receiving yards, as well as Tutu Atwell. Felt like Atwell was going to have 100 yards this week. He could have if he was utilized more. I can't complain too much because he was utilized. And the guy who was utilized the most is Jordan Whittington, who's my guy. So that's another frustrating thing. It's frustrating to lose a game in which they called up Akello Witherspoon. It's frustrating to lose a game in which they ran Kyron Williams and he had success. It's frustrating to lose a game when they actually feature Jordan Whittington like I was asking them to. It's also frustrating to lose a game when Tutu Atwell is your leading receiver. There's a lot of things I actually really liked about this. They used Kyron Williams a little more in the past game. Colby Parkinson looked good. DeMarcus Robinson, right? It's frustrating, man. But this is why turnovers are so deadly. The Bears got two of them. Did you watch the Bears week one game against the Titans? Because if you did, you weren't surprised. Caleb Williams won that game, and that's like the first game a rookie has won, rookie quarterback's won in a long time. Caleb Williams won that game against the Titans because they absolutely took the ball from Will Levis. That defense carried them. And they also carried him last week to a comeback. Now, to be fair, Williams is throwing all over the yard. He had over 330 yards, I believe. But you got to give the Bears defense credit because they made the plays. They forced the turnovers. The Rams had chances. And unfortunately, you go back and you look at the two sacks that Jared Verse would have had, and they're taken away because of penalties. Bad penalties. So it's a frustrating day because you come away with thinking, wow, I really like the way they moved the football. I really like the way the offense looked. But then for whatever reason, they get in the tight red area and it's like, it's just hard to score in the red zone. Now it is because the Bears did a nice job. But this has always been Sean McVay's thing. This has always been Sean McVay's issue. Sean McVay in the red zone, he doesn't continue doing what he's doing. He tries to get cute. He tries back shoulder fades, which, by the way, I said this on the Bleacher Report stream. I'm going to say it again. The back shoulder fade in the Super Bowl to Cooper Kupp on Eli Apple was, first off, a huge mismatch. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it was Cooper Kupp boxing out Eli Apple. Okay, so he's boxing him out and he's right there, pitch and catch, and Stafford throws him the football. Like a light pass, whatever. On the two-point conversion attempt to DeMarcus Robinson, what you're hoping for, what you're doing is that back shoulder fade isn't that. You're hoping that limited room for error, very, very small room for error, margin for error, whatever. You're running out of real estate in the back of the, near the pylon, the back of the end zone. And you throw a very low percentage play. And it's a great throw by Stafford if he's in bounds, but guess what? He's not in bounds. So that hurt. That's the first thing. And furthermore, another thing that hurt was the missed field goal. Bacardi was really good, so I'm not going to I'm not going to bash Cardi. The good news is Cardi went 4 for 5. He hit a 52-yard field goal today. He accumulated 12 of the Rams' 18 points. He was great. He missed the field goal, though, and now people are going to complain about it. Well, if you had your 3 points there and you had your 2-point conversion, well, what does that get you? That gets you to 24-23. So you'd still lose. But yeah, just wicked frustrating day. I hate these losses more than anything. I would rather watch the Cardinals loss any day. If I know going into it, my team is going to lose, I'd rather watch them get absolutely destroyed than watch them outplay the team and lose. Those are the most painful. I don't care what anyone says. There is nothing more painful than watching your team outplay another team on the road and lose a game, especially to a rookie quarterback who was quite honestly carried into the end zone. Brutal. And now, whether you think the Bears are good or not, because I did have them making the playoffs, to be fair, but they don't look as good as I thought they'd be. That offense does not look as good as I thought it'd be. It's still early. They can change it. But now that tiebreaker is now on the Bears' side. You lost the tiebreaker to the Cardinals. You lost to the Bears. You lost it to the Lions. These are teams where this is going to go down the books as, man, we should have had that one. Well, do you know who always says we should have had that one? Fans of teams that don't make the playoffs. Because guess what? We kept saying we should have had that one. And this is a game that on the other side, you know what this was? This was a Jeff Fisher era Rams game. Somehow, some way, Jeff Fisher and the Rams would have these games where they would dominate. They absolutely should have won. And then they would lose. They'd just find a way to lose. And the team afterward would be like, how did they win that game? Well, that's how. So it's frustrating. Really, it's frustrating because the Rams are the better team, I have no doubt. And that is considering injuries. Not considering injuries. I'm not talking about, I don't care. If they're not on the team right now, I'm not making excuses about the injuries. Going into this game, I didn't even think about Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, any of those guys. You know why? Because they just went and did it against the 49ers last week. So why am I going to sit here and say, oh, injuries, man. What injuries? They held Keenan Allen to three catches for 19. Roma Dunze to 1 catch for 10. DJ Moore, 3 catches for 22 and a touchdown. Cole Kmet, 3 catches for 34. DeAndre Swift single-handedly carried their offense. The Rams outplayed this team. Tutu Atwell, Jordan Whittington, and DeMarcus Robinson had more yards than everybody else on the Bears except for Swift. Think about that for a second. Tutu Atwell, Jordan Whittington, DeMarcus Robinson had more receiving yards than everyone except for DeAndre Swift on the Bears. Everyone. They absolutely outplayed them. 100%. The game should not have even been close. It's just unacceptable to lose a game like this. So you're probably asking, Jake, how did we lose the game then? If you're saying they should have dominated, well, 1 for 5 in the red zone. And again, give your credit. By the way, I'm going to get to Super Chats in a sec. So definitely appreciate you guys. I am not ignoring them. I want to make that clear. My point here is that they absolutely should have won by multiple scores. And while you got to give credit to the Bears for making those stops in the red zone, you also have to credit or discredit the Rams for their inaccuracies in the red zone, their inefficiencies in the red zone, whether that was play calling, whether that was ignoring what was working. Kyren Williams should have every carry when they get into the red area because it's been proven to be the right move. And they couldn't stop Kyren. It'd be different if they were like, look, Kyren, he's run the ball for 2 yards a carry, right? And Tutu Atwell's not getting open. And Stafford can't throw. Okay, you lost the game. It just, they didn't show up today. Whatever reason, couldn't do it. But when you have the offensive output, yards-wise, that the Rams did, you saw Tutu Atwell getting chunk yardage. You saw Jordan Whittington. You saw DeMarcus Robinson. When the Rams needed a drive, they strung something together quickly. We're talking about first play, 18 yards. Next play, 20 yards. This team was outclassed. How did they lose this? Because the red zone inefficiencies, and for whatever reason, at some point, some way, the defense started giving up big chunks of explosive plays on the ground, in the air, with DeAndre Swift. And that killed them. DeAndre Swift is the reason that they lost this game. Unable to contain him, unable to stop him, a guy that averaged 1.8 yards per carry going into this game, a guy that was being called as a bust, a guy people were saying should be benched. Well, he's not getting benched because he's a big reason they won. Caleb Williams did nothing. He had one passing touchdown. Good throw, by the way. I got to give him credit. Good throw to DJ Moore. But, I mean, one of his drives was literally a pass interference call, very ticky-tack, I would say. Pass interference call in the end zone where they put the ball at the one-yard line. Congrats, Caleb. Great job. Yeah, it was frustrating, guys. Absolutely frustrating. But you got to credit the Bears defense, and you got to credit DeAndre Swift. You have to. Those two guys were great, or those two elements of the game were great. On the Rams side, it's just, it sucks. Kyren Williams played great. Stafford was great. Atwell was great. Whittington, tough one. But then you look at the defense and you're like, okay, I saw some really good things out of Bobby Brown up front. I saw some really good things out of Neville Gallimore. I saw some really good things out of Kobe Turner. Michael Hoyt getting the sack. He looked good. Jared Verse looked awesome. Jared Verse could have had 6 sacks in this game. They stopped calling holds. They totally stopped calling holds in the second half because otherwise he drew so many holds. Tyler Davis had a nice stop. Braden Fisk looked outstanding. Quentin Lake had a really good game. I thought he did a great job fighting through that contact, making that tackle on the screen. And then, of course, the blitz. And like I said at the start, everyone's going to have a good play or two in a game. But the linebackers are a problem, okay? I said week one, and people got on me for it. I said week one, look, Christian Roseboom and Troy Reader looked really good against the Lions. And over time, guys were exhausted. Okay, fine. But they looked really good against the Lions. People said, you are crazy. You are absolutely crazy. And I said, look, I'm just going by the film. And honestly, if you haven't watched the All-22 and you're going to tell me that the linebacker play against the Lions was terrible or trash, then you don't have a say. I mean, yeah, you have an opinion. That's fine. Everyone has a right to the opinion, but your opinion is basically just ignorant. So I watched the Lions game, as you guys know, made the video, and everyone was like, are you kidding me? Roseboom and Reader are trash. They weren't in that game. Afterwards, they proceeded to struggle. Now, I'll say this. I think there are some good things from Roseboom. Troy Reader has his moments. But all in all, when you look at the run defense, I think it really starts with the linebackers. I think it's time. They got to start using Omar Spates. They got to start using Jake Hummel. I'd love to see Hummel. See, that's the thing. He's their best coverage linebacker. You put Hummel on DJ Moore in the back of the end zone, that's a different outcome, I believe. I really believe that. I think he might have picked it off. Hell, I've seen him do it in preseason. He can go back and play the ball. What I don't understand is why Roseboom didn't try to play the football. He was fine trailing, but I don't understand why. So frustrating stuff. I'm going to get to Super Chats because YouTube refreshes and then they go away and I don't want to miss anybody. So Martin, thank you so much for the five. This feels like a unmotivating loss heading into week five against quarterback with Love, Jake. 2-2 was open, ball wasn't ran enough. Totally agree. Absolutely. Very simply put, but simple and effective. If you throw the ball more to 2-2 Atwell, you probably win. If you run the ball with Kyren Williams more, you probably win. That it sounds simple, but... And honestly, that one play where you threw it to Tyler Johnson, why? Like, why is he on the field? It's frustrating. But thank you so much for the five. I appreciate you, Martin. Wildman Samurai, thank you for the 10. Just keep it real. I'm ready for next season, Jake. Keep up the good content, bro, and go Yankees. That's right. Go Yanks. Love it, Wildman. Except for the fact that you said you're ready for next season. I'm going to say my piece after we get through all of this. I'm not out on the Rams. I'll explain. Gene, thank you so much for the 2. Jake, Trey White is absolutely killing us. Yeah, the penalties are just inexcusable. That's just really what, you know, at this point. I thought Trey White the last 2 games was much better than he has been. And I can't sit here because you guys know my take. I think Akello is clearly the better corner. People said I was crazy for saying that. I think he's clearly the better corner. But with that said, you come away with a game plan where you hold Rome Odunze to 10 yards, Keenan Allen to 19, DJ Moore to 22, and that's in 12 targets. I just can't say that anybody, any of the corners, you know, should be at fault. I mean, Trey White, his issues were the penalties, which I thought one was ticky-tack anyway. But I'm just having a hard time blaming the corners in this one. But I want to see more Witherspoon, obviously, so because I think Kello's a better corner anyway. But I'm not going to put it all on Trey White. I'm not going to do that because today, once again, they held wide receivers in check. But there's been a pattern. You hold Amon-Ra St. Brown to 3 catches and 13 yards, and you let Jameson Williams go off for 124. And week 2, you hold, you know, Trey McBride in check, and now Marvin Harrison Jr. is going off, right? And then week 3 against the 49ers, you hold Brandon Ayuk in check, and now Juwan Jennings goes off. And this week, people were like, oh man, Keenan Allen's playing. So one of DJ Moore, Allen, and Odunze are going to go off, right? Wrong. If you told me before the game that the Bears were going to have 22 yards out of Moore, 19 out of Allen, and Odunze was going to have 10, and they were going to win by 6, I would have said you're crazy. How the hell did that happen? And if you said DeAndre Swift went off, I would have honestly believed you. I felt like this was kind of a trap. DeAndre Swift is averaging 1.8 yards per carry. He was struggling. This is his get right game. We talk about all the time with teams. Well, players, get right game. This is a get right game for DeAndre Swift. And I think he got right. So we'll see what ends up happening moving forward. But he looked really good. 5.8 yards per carry. Averaged 10, over 10 in the receiving game. No idea why when the Rams run a screen, they can't have that success. But also, you got to credit the wide receivers. They blocked well. But still, I think the Rams blocked pretty well, and they never get those opportunities that they got in the screen game today with Swift. So frustrating stuff here. Man of Paradox, thank you so much for the 10. This was one ugly loss. It's unusual for me, but I have nothing positive to say about today. I'm expecting McVay to say I need to do better, and he would be right. Fair enough. I appreciate the 10. I do think there's some good things to take away. I will always try to find the positive in a negative situation because I think it's the best way to tackle it. The reason I say that is because you can say this is bad and this is bad and this is bad. But if you're always just saying everything's bad, well, you know, then at some point or another, I mean, there has to be things that you could take away. You have to be able to, there needs to be building blocks, right? So I'll always try and take some good things away if I see it. I'm not looking for it. The thing is, guys, with football, aside from the Cardinals game, really, every single game, it shouldn't be that hard to find good shit. It really shouldn't. That's just the reality. There are good things in every game except games like the Cardinals that you can take away from. If you have to reach for it, then is it really that good? It should be sitting there. Like what's sitting here, Stafford played really well. I don't have to worry about Stafford. Kyren Williams played really well. Tutu Atwell played really well. This sixth round pick that I was really high on even before the Rams drafted, I called him the closest thing to Puka Nacua in this draft. He played really well and was effectively utilized in the game plan, right? Jared Verse, their first round rookie, their first rookie pick in the first round since Jared Goff, looks like an absolute stud. Braden Fisk, the guy they gave up next year's second round pick to move up 12 spots for, looks like a freaking stud. These are things to take away. I'm not reaching. This is there. I don't have to reach. There's nothing for me to reach to. This stuff is obvious. When you watch this, you're like, these guys are really good. They found two studs in Verse and Fisk. It's that simple. And by the way, this is what happens. I'm going to compare Jared Verse's reputation of not tackling or not being able to finish tackles to that of the reputation Darion Kendrick has with penalties. Once you have one penalty, now officials are looking after you. It's the same thing Trey White's going through right now. Officials are looking for it. They're like, oh, it's like a tip. Makes your job easier. Hey, you didn't throw many flags last week. Maybe in this Rams game, you got a guy in Trey White who's grabby. Maybe you could throw some flags next week. We saw it with Darion Kendrick. They were looking to throw flags on Darion Kendrick. So what am I talking about? I'm saying this. When you develop a reputation, okay, it kind of skews the result. And so the result is Jared Verse is not a bad tackler. And he didn't miss as many tackles as people are saying. But people saw him miss one tackle today, and so now they think he missed every single tackle. That's not true. That's not at all true. He didn't miss every tackle. He had a really good run stop that no one talked about. So, yeah. Edwin, thank you so much for the five. If we would have had Puka and Kupp out there, there's no doubt we would have won. Cardi is him. And can we see if we can get Ramsey to replace White? Hey, appreciate the five. I agree. If Puka and Kupp were out there, I don't see any scenario they lose, although it's hard to even believe that they lost this one. Cardi, there you go. There's another positive. The kicker that they drafted. Remember they drafted a rookie kicker by the name of Sam Sloman, who was a complete train wreck? Well, Josh Cardi, through his first four games, okay, he is what? He was 4 for 5 in this game. So he's 9 for 10? He's 9 for 10 with a 52-yarder on his resume now. That's pretty damn good. 9 for his first 10. The rookie kicker. They've played three of those four games have been on the road. Don't discount that. That's a big deal. That's going to help down the road. And he's been asked to already kick some big high leverage situations and he's come through. So you got to give him props. You're going to have that he's going to get better. That's good. Ray's been a member for 34 months. Shout out to Ray. Appreciate you. Craig, thank you so much for the five. I've said it and I won't back down. The league is on to McVay. The D needs to be addressed immediately. Interesting, Craig. Now, on to McVay, do you mean, like, as you said, defense needs to be addressed. Is it the defensive aspect of McVay, or are you talking about the offense? Because I just don't think for a second at all the Bears really had any idea what they were going to do to stop the Rams' offense. The Rams shot themselves in the foot. If that's the thing. If the Bears didn't win with pressure, if they didn't get to Stafford, they gave up a big play. We saw that. They couldn't stop Kyren. That's why this game's so frustrating. They were great in the red zone, but was that the Bears being great in the red zone, or was that the Rams shooting themselves in the foot, calling obvious low percentage plays? You know? Jacob, thank you so much for the two. Wasn't the Bears' run supposed to be bad? Run defense or offense? I assume you mean offense because Swift was, he was averaging 1.8 yards per carry. Yes, it was supposed to be bad. Andy, thank you so much for the five. Do you think we can beat Green Bay, Las Vegas, and Minnesota? I think we win 2 of the 3. I think Flores finds a way to stop our offense. I hope I'm wrong. Well, I'll be honest with you, Andy. I guess my issue moving forward is I don't know what to make of this defense. I think up front, they have all the talent in the world. They can get pressure on the quarterback. I'm sure this game, they had to have had over 20 pressures. They had 27 last week. I felt like they pressured Caleb almost every play. It felt like every drop back. He had 23 passes. I'm going to say they got at least 18 pressures, but I'd feel comfortable even saying more. I felt like they had a pressure almost every time. So that is going to be big. They're going to have to get home, but the run defense has to change. And the good news is, if you take anything away from this, kind of like a moral victory, although it's not even moral, I don't even know what to call it. But last week when the Rams won, I did say you have to clean up stuff, but you figured out a way to win, and that's good, right? I did say that. However, the Rams, when you win a game, you're less likely to replace starters. You're very unlikely to bench players after a win. But after a loss, now you have a chance. Now you can go and be like, all right, we lost. I can bench Trey White, put in Akello. I can bench Troy Reader and give Jake Hummel a shot or give Omar Spates a shot. Now, there's no rule behind it. They could bench those guys anyway, if we're being honest. But I think the important thing here to realize is that they're very unlikely to do that. After a win, you're not trying to kill team morale. You're not trying to say, yeah, well, we got to replace you. No, but after a loss, it opens up the door. Now you can do some different things. You can try some things out. And they're going to have to. So, Andy, I don't know if they win 2 of the next 3. I'll have to see how the preparation goes this week, if anybody's coming back. Green Bay is a tough nut to crack because they started, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the rest of that game. I just saw that a team that started off up 28-0 at half gave up 22 unanswered in the fourth quarter. Green Bay came all the way back. Jordan Love had one of the craziest stat lines you'll ever see. 32 of 54 for 389 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and they lose 31-29. That's a crazy comeback, and they still lost. So the Packers are 2-2. Vikings are 4-0. Vikings went to Green Bay and won. Now, both teams are coming off of last-minute losses. Rams and Packers. How do these teams attack the week? How do these teams look going into Sunday? It's at SoFi Stadium. We're going to find out. The Rams really have to step up here. No one is going to feel sorry for you. The injuries, I'm already over. Like, that, I can't stress it enough. Maybe I move too quickly. But when people are like, yeah, but don't forget about the, you know, don't forget about the injuries. It's not that I forgot about them, but I'm over them. It's like when I already know something is done, I'm not going to sit here and dwell on it. I did that like Aaron Donald. People are like, how are you not talking about this more? Because nothing I say is going to change the reality. The reality is Braden Fisk and Jared Verse were drafted to replace Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is not on the Rams anymore. So I'm not going to use Aaron Donald not being on the Rams as an excuse. Just like I'm not going to use the injuries. They beat the 49ers with those injuries. So, you know, that's how I feel. Andy, thank you so much. Christopher, thank you so much for the 10. We lost this game because we couldn't finish in the red zone. Got to go into the bye 2-3 to have a chance at the playoffs. Cardi is a stud. The miss was a bad placement by the holder. Absolutely agree. Couldn't have said it any better. They lost because they couldn't finish in the red zone. If they score one of those touchdowns, completely different game. They score two out of the five that are four that they missed, completely different game. They easily win. So it's a tough one. They have to be better in the red zone. Play calling has to be better. The 2-point conversion call really pissed me off. I just didn't like it at all. And I don't know why they got away from the 12 personnel grouping. I really don't. They had a lot of success. I think it's a big reason why they beat the 49ers. And the Bears couldn't stop the run. So I don't know why they went away from that. They really liked the 11 personnel. At the same time, this is why games like this almost don't even make sense. How are we talking about the Rams needing to do this and that when their offense moved the ball at will? It was ridiculous. They couldn't stop the Rams. So frustrating, guys. So frustrating. Not until they got to the red zone. Hank, thank you so much for the five. Jake, Sean is a horrible red zone play caller. We have to stop anointing him as an offensive wizard. Run defense is egregious. I think Sean is a great offensive mind, but I do, and I'll always say this, and I do truly believe it, red zone touchdown percentage has always been an issue with Sean McVay. Because red zone scoring and touchdown percentage are different things. So I'm going to pull this up now because I am very curious right now. If we look at the teamrankings.com and we look at the Rams last year, what were the Rams last year in terms of, let's see, red zone scoring possession, percentage touchdown only. Okay. So 2024, the Rams are 21st. I don't think this game has been included yet. 2023, the Rams were, okay, so they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're 8th. They scored a touchdown in the red zone 60.3% of the time, which was more than Philly, Cincinnati, New England, Dallas, all those teams. How about 2022, that horrible year? Where were they then? They were 14th. They scored 55.5% of the time they got in the red zone touchdown-wise. How about 2021? You wouldn't believe this. You would not believe this. This is the Super Bowl season. The Rams scored on 59%. That came in 16th place. So the year they won the Super Bowl, the Rams offense only scored a touchdown 59% of the time when they got in the red zone in 2021. How about 2020? The last year, Jared Goff, 19th, 57.8. How about 2019? 6th, 64% of the time. That team didn't make the playoffs, but they still were 6th. That's the highest that they've been. Let's look at 2018. 2018 was 18th. They went to the Super Bowl with a 16th ranked touchdown red zone percentage and an 18th ranked. Those are their Super Bowl teams. 2017, Sean McVay's first year, 17th. Well, what about 2016 with the Washington Redskins? 30th, 45.9%. How about 2015? Washington was 11th. Although I think Sean only offensive coordinated 2016. So you get the point. Sean McVay, the years he's won, he's gone to the Super Bowl, he's been in the top 18. He's been in between 15 and 18 in the league. Right now, he is currently at 21st. And this is going to go down. If this isn't updated, I don't think it is updated. It's going to go down. This is 100% going to go down. So, yeah. Not ideal. It's just, it's frustrating. It's always been something there. And yeah, Sean struggled in the red zone. Plenty of data to back that up. Anyone acting like he hasn't struggled in the red zone, well, this year the red zone percentages are 46 and they're going to go way down. Way down. I think when it's all said and done after this week, the Rams are going to be near the bottom of the league in red zone percentage. The worst one is Pittsburgh and Miami are tied at 25%. That'll probably change after this week for Pittsburgh. Miami is the worst red zone scoring touchdown team in the league. Denver's up there or down there. But yeah, this is unacceptable. I love Sean McVay. This was my handpicked guy before you guys even knew who I was. And I was excited to get 30 people watching on Facebook Live doing Downtown Rams Live. And I said I wanted them to get Sean McVay before you guys even knew who I was. And I was saying that. But I always said, look, I love Sean McVay, but I am going to call it like it is. See, people call me an optimist. And yes, I tend to lean a little optimistic. But I feel like I'm more of a realist than people realize. It's not blatant homerism. I will call a team out. Now, I always get flack for it. Whereas if I call out, say, the New York Yankees, everybody's on my side because Yankee fans almost like hate their team. It's kind of funny. Not really, but it's always like the sky is falling even when they clinch the number one spot in the AL East or the AL. But with the Rams, it's different. Because the Rams, it's one side or the other. It's either you support the team no matter what, you have to love every draft pick, or you have to hate every draft pick. You have to be against the doomers, right? I think is what they call them. So I guess what I'm saying and the reason I'm bringing it up is I'm not saying you guys are like, not all you guys are like that. But like the point I'm making here is that, yes, when you have the Rams, for the most part, they do a lot of good. They're one of the best run organizations in the league. It makes it easy to cover the team, truthfully, because I do tend to I like being a little bit more on the happier side than the negative side. I like being on the more optimistic side. I like to find the good inside of bad. I do. It's a character trait. Is it a bad one? I don't know. Maybe someday we'll find out. But the point I'm making here is that while I like that, I also am willing to call out when they do things that I don't like. And that is when, as soon as I do that, I'm met with negativity. How could you not trust in Sean McVay and Les Snead? Are you kidding me? Chop Robinson is not better than Jared Verse. Well, I had Chop Robinson as a higher grade than Jared Verse. It didn't mean that I thought that I would. Just because I had Chop Robinson rated higher than Verse as a overall prospect, which, by the way, doesn't mean he's going to come in right away and be better than Jared Verse day one. I thought Jared Verse had a higher floor. But just because I thought that doesn't mean I hate their pick, right? Now, when I say things like that whole thing I had with Akello Witherspoon, a lot of people said I was crazy. Oh, you just want this guy. If you want him, he's so good, then why does nobody want him? Because it takes two to tango. And I'll go as far as to say that man was woefully lowballed by teams around the league. And that's the reality of it. It takes two to tango. He has to sign a contract too. The team can't just be like, yeah, we'll take you. It doesn't work that way. And then you could probably come back and say, well, if he wanted to play in the NFL so bad, why didn't he sign a contract? Because he's not trying to get himself screwed. It's a violent sport. He's trying to take care of himself. Quarterback market sucks. If you don't have a Defensive Player of the Year award like Stephon Gilmore, you're shit out of luck. If you don't win a Super Bowl like Legarius Sneed, everyone can ignore his 17, 18 penalties he had last year. You're shit out of luck. That's what happened. No one cared that Akello Witherspoon played 18 games. You were now seeing 18 games last year. Pretty big deal, right? So I'm saying that because I do call this team out. While I always get called a homer. I was called a homer the week I picked the 49ers to beat the Rams because I couldn't just say the 49ers are going to beat the Rams. I wasn't allowed to give my thoughts and say that the Rams could keep it close and even potentially win the game. That's the reality of it. So, look, I have a few more super chats. Then I'm going to give my final spiel. I'm going to take you guys down off the cliff. This is going to be just cold, hard facts, I guess, kind of my thoughts. I'm just going to be honest, like full stop, just complete honesty how I feel about this team. Okay, so let's get to that. Jacob, if and buts mean nothing when the defense looks like a traffic cone can't stop a terrible Bears offense. It's true. It's absolutely true. I appreciate the donation there. Mosiah, D played well. Sean just didn't run the ball enough. I do agree with that. 19 carries when the guy is averaging almost five a carry is insane to just stop rushing him. Jacob, thank you again. So what I'm hearing is we are a bottomless five team in the league. I wouldn't say that. This is what I'll say. Because I see people, come on, Jake, get me off the ledge here. Talk me down. How are we feeling about this team? I'll tell you how I'm feeling about this team. I am so frustrated they lost this game. I am. No doubt about it. Should have won. No excuse. Absolutely should have won this game. The Bears are an inferior team to the Rams. I don't care. Even with injuries, the Rams are the better team. Sometimes you lose games that you're supposed to win, especially when you're on the road. The Rams might have an issue playing on the road. They're 0-3. The only game that they've won is at home. That could be a problem. But hear me out. The season's not over. Well, Jake, 1-3. You told us 1-3 on the season with the new playoff format. No team has ever made the playoffs. Well, I did. But the Rams also were 3-6 last year going into week 11. And they won 7 the last 8. And the only loss that they had in the regular season was to the Ravens, who they won it on a punt return in OT. So I'm not going to sit here and say the Rams have no shot. If there's anybody that's going to be the first team, it is this organization. It's Sean McVay. Nothing's changed. The injuries, these guys are coming back. When are they coming back? It sounds like Cooper Kupp. It might be 2 weeks. So we'll probably see him after the bye, week 7 against the Raiders. Next month, it sounds like Puka Nacua is going to miss all of October. Okay, so we'll see him in November. So where does that place a guy like Puka Nacua? Where can we expect to see Puka Nacua? Probably the Seattle game after the Vikings game. Because you get that week where you play the Vikings on a Thursday night, you get that kind of mini bye before you go to Seattle in that game. So you'll probably get Puka by that point. You'll have Kupp for the Raiders. Puka is going to miss 3 more games at max, I believe. Maybe he misses 4, but he's likely to miss 3 more games. So you'll get him back. Cooper Kupp, on the other hand, is only going to miss 1 more game. I think you get him back week 7 against the Raiders, personally. I think the bye is going to help. I think you're going to get most of your guys back by Seattle. So if we're doing the math, when is that? Well, we got week 5 next week against the Packers. If they get to 2-3, that'd be great going in the bye. You got the Raiders, you can get back to 3-3. Vikings, that's going to be a tough game. But you're talking about week 9 against Seattle. And if they can win 2 of the next 3, they have 3 wins going into Seattle week 9 and are ahead of their schedule that they were last year when they had 3 wins going into week 11 last year. So as crazy as it sounds, this season ain't over. And you still have Matthew Stafford. You still have Kyron Williams. You're finding some things that you didn't know you had, maybe. I kind of believed in Whittington all along, and I'm sure a lot of people did. But you're finding it, like Whittington you can count on. You can count on Tutu Atwell. You're finding out that you can count on your kicker. Your rookie kicker has made 9 of his first 10 field goals. Okay? There's some good things here. Defense, getting a lot of pressure. So this is what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to go into SoFi with some energy. I think they're going to beat the Packers. I think they're going to go to 2-3. I think they're going to go into the bye, feel a little bit better. They're going to get Cooper Kupp for the Raiders game. And I think they're going to beat the Raiders and get back to 3-3. Now, the Vikings on a short week at SoFi, I think it's going to be a close one. Too tough to call. But I'll lean the Vikings for now and have that 3-4. Seattle hasn't played anyone. I think that they are overrated and they're going to get exposed. I think at this point, Puka Nacua could be back for this game. I'm going to take the Rams in Seattle. We know what happened last time the Rams went to Seattle. I'll take 4-4. So then you have the Dolphins. I don't care if Tua Tagovailoa is back or not. I think the Rams are the better team. It's at SoFi Stadium. I'm taking the Rams to go to 5-4. Then you have the New England Patriots in Foxborough. I understand the defense has shown some grit. At this point, the Rams should pretty much have everyone back, including even maybe John Johnson. I'm taking the Rams over the Patriots, 6-4. The Eagles. I don't think the Eagles are that great. Now, I know they're banged up. I get that. But I think the Rams can win that game at SoFi Stadium. So I'm going to take the Eagles there. So what is that? Let's see. 3-4, 4-4, 5-4, 6-4, 7-4 would put the Rams at. Right? So 7-4. Then in New Orleans, I'm going to take the Saints, 7-5. The Bills, the Rams have shown they can't beat the Bills. I'm going to take the Bills, 7-6. I'm going to take the 49ers, 7-7. And then I think the Rams beat the Jets, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. As it stands right now, the Rams go 10-7. That should be good enough to get into the playoffs. Wouldn't be surprised if they go 11-6. Wouldn't be surprised if they go 12-5. Once they get healthy, I think this train's going to roll. They're also getting really important, in my opinion, they're getting really important experience, this young defense. So I think they go 10-7. I think that's a realistic way of looking at it. And I don't think there's anything wrong to assume that. I really don't. That bye, if you don't believe in this team, that's fine. But if they, as long as they beat the Packers, they're going to have some momentum going in that bye. They can turn things around. They can get healthier. That Raiders game, I think, comes at a great point. So I think right now they're a 10-7 ball club. They're a team that down the stretch here, the Jets, Cardinals, Seahawks, as long as they stay healthy, I don't think that you're going to want to play this team at all. I really don't. This team is going to be very similar to what we saw last year, in my opinion. That's what it's looking like. It's looking like a team that is going to, you know, stumble a little bit here. You know, they're going to maybe, you know, this is kind of their losing streak. They're doing it the opposite way. I mean, they went 1-4 without Kyren Williams, right? 1-4. So when they went 1-4 without Kyren Williams, what does that mean? They won 10 games last year. So they went 9-3 with Kyren Williams. So I think when they get healthy, it's really going to help. I think 10-7 is a realistic thing. I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I had them going 13-4 because I didn't expect them to get as banged up as they did. So that's how I see it. That's how I see it. I think that this is a team that is going to, and look, they might lose a game that I predicted them to win. They might win a game that I predicted them to lose. I think this is a team that'll be in every game moving forward. I don't think we see another Cardinals outbreak like that. That was insane. But here, the reality is they have played three of the four games down to the wire. They've been one possession games that they could have won. They beat the 49ers. They lost to the Lions. They lost to the Bears. We're going to find out, is this team a bad road team? We're going to find out over the course of the year. But I do think it's time for the Rams to really evaluate after this loss, really evaluate the linebacker spot. But I don't think for a second this is a bad football team. I saw some really good things, and I saw some really bad things, but I saw some really good things. And I think over the course of the season, we're going to see this defense get better. That's just the way a young defense gets, but they still feel ahead of schedule. If they stop the run any bit better, you know, anything like they did against the 49ers this week, well, they would have won the game. And you could say ifs all you want, but I still think the 1-for-5 in the red zone was a problem. Things are going to change. I'm sure Sean will use the words humbling and humbling loss and learning and all that, but I don't think he's wrong. I don't. So I'm not worried. I'm more pissed. I'm frustrated. This is going to be a game we look back on and say, really? How the hell did they lose this? They were better at the time. And then by the time you get to week 12, you're going to be like, the Rams are so much better now. But hey, that's the NFL. I mean, if you want to go back, you want to look at teams that have lost some head-scratching games in the past, well, we can play that card. You know why? Because this game wasn't that much different than the Pittsburgh game. The Rams were better than the Steelers, and for whatever reason, they blew the game. Right? The Dallas game was annoying, but Dallas outplayed them. Philly was annoying, but Philly outplayed them. The Bengals were annoying. And yes, the Rams absolutely could have won the game. And a touchdown was taken away from Tutu Atwell because the refs can't see. But the Bengals game, they didn't run the football at all. Kyren had 38 yards rushing. San Francisco game, they could have won, but it's frustrating. But it's like not like this game. This game, it was a lot like Pittsburgh last year. You can't even say it was like Baltimore, because Baltimore, if we're being honest, they played really well too. But that's how I see it. And if you look at last year as well, Kansas City was sitting there like, how did we lose to the Lions? Are we for real? We lost to the Lions at home at Arrowhead to start the season? How did we lose this game? How did we lose 24-9 to the Denver Broncos in week 8? Right? Like, how did we lose to the Raiders in week 16, 20-14? This is what happens. There are dumb losses, and it's annoying, and I'd just rather have them not happen, but they do. The 49ers got blown out by Cincinnati last year. Brock Purdy threw for 365 yards, and they lost 31-17 to Cincinnati. They lost to Minnesota. Do you remember that game? They lost to Minnesota this year, but they lost to Minnesota last year. They lost to Cleveland before we even knew if Cleveland was going to make the playoffs or not. They got blown out by Baltimore. This is what happens, guys. I'm not saying you should feel good about it, but this is what happens. 2018, when the Rams went to the Super Bowl, right? They lost a game to the Chicago Bears 15-6. The Bears were 9-4. The Rams were 11-2. Trubisky threw 3 picks in that game. And they found a way to lose it. You know, I mean, the Philly game, 30-23. That was the Super Bowl year. How about the year they won the Super Bowl, 2021? They got blown out by Arizona in week 4, 17-point game at SoFi. They lost to Tennessee 28-16. Tennessee's a good team, but Ryan Tannehill threw for 143 yards and Foreman had 29 yards on the ground. He was their leading rusher. They lost by 21 to the 49ers. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. It's frustrating. I'm going to be frustrated by it, but I'm also a realist. This stuff happens. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make me happy about it, but it happens. I would rather it not. Going into 2022, by the way, the Rams started 2-2. They beat Atlanta barely after blowing a huge lead. They got destroyed by Buffalo to open up the season. They barely beat Arizona. They lost 24-9 to San Francisco on Monday Night Football. They lost to Dallas 22-10. Then they beat Carolina to get 3-3 into the bye, and then they didn't win a game until week 14. So are they the 2022 Rams? Are they the 2023 Rams where they start off 3-3 and then they lose three straight? They go 3-6 going to the bye, and then they come out and they go 10-7 the rest of the way. Are they the, I don't know, 2019 Rams? Who knows? It's different. It's swapped. But 2019, the Rams beat Carolina. They dominated the Saints. They beat Cleveland. They're up 3-0. So they're 3-0. Then they lose a crazy wild game at the Coliseum against Tampa Bay, 55-40. They lose an absolute heartbreaker on a missed field goal off the uprights against Seattle on Thursday Night Football, 30-29. And then they lose 20-7 to the 49ers. Now they're back down to 3-3. So as great as that 3-0 start was, now they're 3-3. Then they beat Atlanta and they beat Cincinnati going in the bye. That's the game Cup had 220 yards in the London game. Then they come out of the bye and they play Pittsburgh, and you're thinking, oh, they're 5-3 going to the bye. You feel great about it. This is 6-3 all day. They lose that game to Pittsburgh. Ugly, ugly, ugly game, 17-12. They beat Chicago 17-7. You're thinking, okay, 6-4 should make the playoffs. Then they get absolutely run out of the building. They lose to Baltimore week 12 of 2019 season, 45-6. Like, it comes out of nowhere. Then they destroy Arizona. They win they're 7-5. Then they beat Seattle. They're feeling good, 8-5. You got three games left. You just need to win 10 games, and they can only win that last game against Arizona when they're already eliminated. The last time they would play in the Coliseum before they move to SoFi Stadium, they lose an absolute heartbreaker to the 49ers in a game they started off winning, I believe 21-0, if I'm not mistaken. So brutal loss. But the point I'm making is that the season is not determined in week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5, or week 6. No, it is a marathon, not a sprint. We had that 2019 team. we just talked about it. Really good red zone touchdown efficiency rating, all of that. They start off 3-0. You see them Sunday Night Football against Cleveland. They get the job done. I think it was John Johnson who came down with the game sealing interception. You're feeling great. Then all of a sudden, this Tampa Bay game just goes totally off the rails. 95 total points. They lose the game on Thursday Night Football to Seattle. They lose to the 49ers. And now all of a sudden, that 3-0 start, and how all these records about, oh, when you start 3-0, you almost always make the playoffs. Well, the Rams missed it at 9-7 that year. So that's the thing, guys. 2017, they start off with a 46-9 drubbing of the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, Andrew Luck was out. It was Scott Tolzien. It was the first time at the Coliseum, big type of game. They win Sean McVay's, you know, debut as a coach. Sean McVay loses to his former Washington Redskins team, 27-20. I was at that game. They beat the Niners in week 3. Then they beat Dallas in a real fun back-to-back high-scoring affairs. They start off 3-1. Then they lose that game to Seattle at the Coliseum, where you're like, how the hell did they lose that game? It still just doesn't make any sense. And now you're 3-2. Well, how do you respond? They beat Jacksonville. Big Farrell Cooper kick return touchdown propels them in Jacksonville. They beat Arizona 33-0, going to the bye, and they're 5-2. Come out of the bye, was at the game against the Giants. They win 51-17 in the freezing cold and the pouring rain. They beat Houston 33-7. Then they lose to Minnesota 24-7. They beat the New Orleans Saints. They beat Arizona. They lose to Philly. They lost to San Francisco at the end of the season when they were sending their starters. But there's a lot of different things that have happened over the course of a season for Sean McVay's Rams. That's what I'm trying to explain. So they're not out of it at all. They're not in it. Right now, they're not in the dance. They have some work to do. But we've seen them start off with some great stuff. I mean, they started off 3-1 in 2017. 2018, they started off 4-0. 2019, they start off 3-1. 2020, they start off 3-1. 2021, they start off 3-1. 2022, they start off 2-2. Last year, they started off 2-2. And this year, 1-3. So, what do we take away from it? Well, we've never seen Sean McVay down bad like this. Now, you could chalk it up to say this season's over. I would say it's a more opportunity for Sean McVay to get out of this thing. So that's how I feel. Curious what you guys think. Obviously, drop in the comment section. Be sure to hit the thumbs up button on this. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. I appreciate you guys for watching. Sorry I couldn't do the call-ins. I just really, I want to see my mom because it's her birthday, in case you guys missed that. So happy birthday, mother, if you are watching. Sanj, thank you so much for the five. Man, Jared Verse feels like he's destroying everybody until the point of making a tackle. Also, we need some linebacker rotations. Yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you. We'll see what ends up happening. Like I said, after a loss, you're more than likely to see something change. So we'll probably see an adjustment or something. This is an inexcusable loss, so it has to be met with a change, in my opinion. It has to be met with something. So that's what I say there. Paul, the seafood chef, thank you so much for the five. I wish it was, you know, obviously under better circumstances. I see your emoji. I still don't know what that's called, a sticker. And yeah, I hear you. I get it. So I appreciate all of you so much. Be sure to share this with somebody new if you haven't. Just try to get some people to learn about this channel. Because, you know, win or lose, rain or shine, we're live. We're still making content. And that's that. Tyler, thank you so much for the five. Your mom and my dad share a birthday. Happy birthday to your mom, Jake. Keep your head up. Stay positive. Thank you so much, Tyler. Happy birthday to your dad. That's cool. I definitely love to hear that. So yeah, I'm going to go and, you know, spend some time with her. I haven't seen her all week, and you know, obviously I've just been busy. Yankees game on Wednesday and covering the Yankees up until like 3 a.m. recording. And then of course the Rams content. So, and we got gaming content as well. So if you're over on Kick right now, definitely, be ready for that, because we're going to be streaming some games over on there. If you're not on Kick, the last thing I'm going to ask of you, because you guys have been so great, shouldn't be asking any more of you. And I see all those people, all you guys, saying happy birthday to my mom. I'm going to show her. That means a lot. Guys, be sure to check out kick.com/JKBogan. And it's going to take you two clicks to sign up. That is where our all 22 breakdown will be this week for the Rams Bears game. In addition to that, I will be streaming some games on there as well. So basically, if you're not interested in video games, totally understand. But I like doing it because I've built a really nice community because of you guys. And I would not be, you know, the same without you guys. So with that community, I like interacting with you guys. So what we do is, when I'm not doing anything sports related, I'm on Kick and I'm streaming some games and whatnot. It's basically a Q&A sesh. So you guys can drop questions and comments, concerns, all of that. But yeah, check out the Kick streams. Check out the Kick channel. It'll be like 2 seconds to sign up. And yeah, we're at 950 followers, so almost at 1,000. So that's where all of our all 22 live streams are. So definitely be sure to do that. I appreciate everyone wishing my mother a happy birthday. I will be sure to show her all of those. Really appreciate you guys. You guys are great. And also really appreciate Prize Picks for sponsoring today's video. So I give them a shout out as well. JK Bogan is the code. $50. If you have never played Prize Picks before, go download the app. The link is in the description below. Sign up today. Use code JK Bogan. You're going to get $50 on your first $5 lineup. So right now it's 6:01 Eastern time. You got about 2 hours before the night game. If you're interested in the night game, there you go. You sign up, you throw $5 down. I don't even know who's playing the night game. I'm so bad at this. Let's see. Who's playing tonight? Is nobody playing? Okay, it's Buffalo and Baltimore. Oh, there you go. Come on, it's going to be a fun game. Go and sign up for Prize Picks. Use the code JKBogan. Choose more or less on all the projections that you like. If you think Lamar Jackson is going to throw more than whatever his total is, then hit more. If you think it's going to be less, hit less. But a lot of fun stuff. And if you ever have like a hard time getting into a game that you want to get into, there you go. Bills versus Ravens isn't a game that you're going to have a hard time getting into, though. So there is that. But guys, really appreciate you. I'm going to show Mother Ellen Bogan. You know, she might actually be watching right now. That's the funny thing, but really appreciate you guys wishing her a happy birthday. And, I'm going to go spend it with her. So appreciate you guys so much. I'm going to drop the replay. So that's like an instant reaction from the Bleacher Report stream, after this. So definitely check that out. Be sure to check out Kick, check out, Prize Picks. And there we go. I think I have every plug that I needed to make. Oh, also, if you missed any of this and you want it just on audio and you don't want to just stare at my face the whole time, every single video on this channel is in podcast format. So be sure to check that out. My God, I'm running out of stamina here. But Matthew, thank you so much for the 20, man. I was about to hang up and there came the super chat. So appreciate you. What's up, Jake? A little disappointed today, but we got a win out here. Win out here on out. Happy birthday to your mom. Thank you so much, Matthew. Yeah, I agree. They got to win. They got to take care of business. Next week, it's Green Bay. We'll try and get some, you know, Packers, guests, experts, what have you. But yeah, that's going to do it. Appreciate you guys, and I will see you guys soon. Later, folks.